Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. In light of the events that have taken place in the last week to 2 weeks in the United States of America, I am going to give a response to the race problems and the racial issues in America. And of course, this is just my perspective. This is just the experience and the knowledge and the wisdom that I've gained over the years. And you may ask, well, what qualifies you, Jim, to be a spokesperson on the issue of race relations? Well, I've lived in many places all over the world, and I've lived in many cultures and in many cities, and I have had a lot of experience with people of different races, different cultures. And so, as in addition to that, I have studied the Word of God, and beloved, more than anything else at this time, we need to stand on God's Word, because people are shouting, people are screaming their philosophy, people are shouting and screaming their opinions, their viewpoints, but we need to stand on God's Word, because in times like this, God's Word gives us clarity, God's Word gives us peace, God's Word gives us wisdom. Can Jesus Christ speak to us at a time like this? Can the Holy Spirit speak to us at a time like this? Does the Holy Spirit have anything to say to us at a time like this? If it doesn't, if our walk with the Lord and our knowledge of His Word and our study of His Word, if it doesn't give us any benefit, if it doesn't give us any peace or any clarity or understanding or vision at this time, then it has no value for us in our life. But good news is, beloved, God's Word speaks to us in every situation. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And when our feet are walking on a path that is very dark, when our feet are walking on a path that is full of confusion, full of chaos, full of terrorist activity, full of hatred and violence, God's Word speaks to us, and it gives us clarity, and it gives us the ability to see what is false, what is true, what is right, what is wrong, what is dark, what is light. And so when we look to Jesus in every situation, then we can have clarity, we can have wisdom, we can have vision. And where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there is prophetic vision, the people will be blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's not just in the nation where there's peace. That's also in the nation where there is chaos. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When the people are righteous, the people rejoice. When the king is righteous, the people rejoice. And so we have clarity, we have vision. When we study God's Word, when we speak God's Word, when we meditate on God's Word, when we pray about God's Word, when we pray God's Word, and when we share it with one another in times of stress and in times of duress, we share it with one another, we encourage one another, and we have God's Word to stand on, and it will not be shaken, and we are standing on it today as a result of the events of the last couple of weeks in the United States of America. Well, I want to give you just a little bit of testimony of my life and let you know that I have had lots of experience. Again, I spoke earlier about this. I've had lots of experience with people of different races. I was an athlete in college, and many, if not majority of my friends were African American, and they were people of different races. And nearly all of them came from very poor families. They came out of the ghettos in big cities all over America. And then after college, I went to the West Coast, lived in San Francisco for a few years. And I was for a time, living in the Fillmore District. And I was one of the few Mazungas or white people in the Fillmore District. You could walk for blocks and not see other white people other than the ones that were living in the house I was living in. And so I had a lot of experience with people of different cultures, not just African American, but Latino and Chinese and other different cultures that you would find in a place like San Francisco. Also, I have traveled to approximately 12 to 15 countries around the world to preach the gospel. And of course, you know, here in Africa, I am one of the few, very, very few in this part of Kenya that is different culture, different race. Most of the people here are Luhya people. They are African, and they are purely African. And so I'm very easy to spot. I'm very easy to pick out, and so it's been a very interesting experience for me the last 10 years coming to Africa, living here at different times, the last 4 or 5 years living here most of the time. And so I've gained a lot of experience, and I've come to realize that God's word is sufficient for us in every culture, in encountering the problems of every culture. And a lot of the problems that any country has, a lot of the problems that any city has, even any village, comes from cultural clashes with the kingdom of God. When culture clashes with the kingdom of God, then the culture has to give way for the kingdom. And so it's very important for us to know God's word, to know what God says about certain situations, and to know what God's word says and how we can apply the wisdom of God's word in situations that look very difficult and may be very difficult, but God will give us the way out and give us peace as we go and walk with the Lord. Well, there's three different aspects that I see to the racial problems in America, and I'm not pinpointing any particular person or any particular group of people. I'm just speaking God's word here and what I believe to be the important aspects of God's word to deal with this situation in the U.S. And historically, it's very important for us to know that there have been sacrifices made to try to end racism. The most notable, of course, was the Civil War, when 600,000 men, mostly white men, gave up their lives to keep the Union in place, to keep the Union held together, and to disassemble the institution of racism. And 600,000 men shed their blood and gave up their life that this institution would come down and that the United States of America would be a united country, not united on the principles of the utilization of slaves or the utilization of the institution of slavery, but united on the principles that all men are created equal. And I know that did not happen overnight. In fact, we know it still isn't totally happening today, that there is racism, and so we need to deal with that. And so this is a message to the individual hearts of the people listening to this broadcast, the individual hearts and minds of the people listening to this broadcast. And it doesn't matter if you are white American, Latino, Chinese, indigenous, or African American, or whatever race or culture you are. Now, maybe you're mixed. Maybe you have four different races in your bloodline. This message comes from God's word, and it is speaking to you individually, not as part of a culture, not as part of a group, not as part of a village or a nation or a state, but as individuals, we have to stand before God someday and make an account of our life and our attitudes, our feelings, our actions, our love towards each other. Well, in that light, the first thing that we need for this hour, for the United States of America, is love towards each other. The Apostle John, the disciple that Jesus loved, he says in 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is as of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So let us love one another," John says, "for love is of God." 1 John 4:8, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." The primary force behind God's plan for mankind is God's love for us. The primary force or the primary destiny for each and every person on the face of the earth is derived from the fact that God loves us. Even before we knew Jesus Christ, He knew us. Even before we knew God, God knew us. He formed us in the womb of our mother, and He spoke over us our destiny, our calling, our place here on this earth. And so we need to love each other because God is love. 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might love through him. Beloved, Jesus Christ came to this earth because he loved us. Jesus Christ suffered and died for us because he loved us. Jesus Christ took our sins upon his shoulder. He took our sins to the cross. He took our sins into the water of baptism. He was baptized for the remission of our sins because he had none of his own. And then he went to the cross and he shed his precious blood as the payment for our sins. And so God showed his love through the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice. If you want to know what love looks like, look at Jesus Christ on the cross. That is love, beloved. Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. Every ounce, every drop of his precious blood was spilled out at the whipping post and on the cross, so you could know the love of God, so that you could live with God for all eternity, so that you can love people that you couldn't ordinarily love, so that you can love people that you would be despising of those people, so you can love people that you would not even care about or even give a second thought to. You can learn to love those people when you have the love of Jesus Christ and you start to understand the love that Jesus Christ has for them. And so the message for each and every person in America, and not just in America, but also in Kenya today, the message is, how do you feel about other people? Does God give you a heart that breaks for other people? Does God give you a heart that breaks for their salvation? Do you care about other people's salvation? Do you care if they spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit? Do you care if they spend eternity in hell? Do you care about people? Do you care about your loved ones, your brothers and sisters, your aunts, uncles, and your own children? Do you care about them enough to pray for them and to show them God's love? Do you care about the street people and their plight, not just in America, but we have thousands and probably hundreds of thousands of street people here in Kenya. It's a small country compared to America, and yet we have hundreds of thousands of street people here. Do you care about them enough to send a missionary some money so that they can take care of the orphans and the street people here in Kenya? Well, 1 John 4:11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Beloved, when you have perfect love for people, when you have love for them, you will go to the ends of the earth to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. When you have love for people, you will not be afraid to go places and risk your life and risk your comfort and risk your ease and your safety to tell other people about Jesus Christ and the love that he has for them. Because perfect love, when you love people with the love of Jesus Christ, it casts that fear out of your life. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Well, beloved, thank God that Jesus Christ, even while we were yet sinners, he still loved us. Even while we were yet sinners, he cared for us and he died for us on the cross. And so are you willing to help your brother? And are you willing to sacrifice for your brother that they can take a step up in the world, that they can take a step up with their education, that you can help them take a step up with their lifestyle and with their spiritual life as well? Can you help people take a step up in their spiritual life and share the good news of the gospel with them through radio, through TV, through sending missionaries, through the preaching of the word, through printing books and Bible tracts? Can you do that? Will you sacrifice to do that and show your love for other people? 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. He who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen. And so I know sometimes the cultural aspects of other people bother us. Sometimes the cultural aspects, they give us difficulty, they make us uncomfortable, but understand the cultural aspects can be overcome. You can learn to love people that are totally different culture from you, totally different race from you, totally different country from you, language. You can learn by the grace of God and through the love that Jesus Christ has for us. You can learn to love people that are nothing like you. Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And so that is a message to pierce the heart of every single person in America, not just the white people, but the African Americans, the Latino, the indigenous peoples, is that we need to learn to love each other and understand each other, listen to each other, dialogue with each other, and help each other up when our brothers and sisters need help. Second aspect of racism and racial problems in America, we need to learn to forgive each other. We need to learn to forgive. Beloved, we need to forgive things that happened 200 years ago. I'm not saying we can forget them. We can never forget them. But we have to learn to go on. And there are times when people will offend you. There are times when people will offend me. There are times when people may try to kill you and betray you. There are times when I've had people try to kill me and betray me. But beloved, we have to be able to forgive. Jesus Christ was right on the cross. He was hanging from the cross and had suffered unspeakable torment, unspeakable torture, unspeakable misery. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He didn't say, Father, forgive them when they get everything right in their life and they come and apologize to me. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And so we need to take that attitude as well. We need to forgive people that have offended us. We need to forgive people that have called us names. We need to forgive people that have betrayed us or in some way slighted us. And beloved, if we can't learn to forgive each other, there will never be any hope of racial reconciliation in America. There will never be any hope of Americans getting beyond the Civil War. There will never be any hope of Americans truly learning to love each other. We have to learn to forgive each other, and we have to learn to put things in the past, and let's go forward in the future with a love for each other and a forgiveness for each other that transcends every situation, transcends every hurt, every betrayal, and every way that people have let us down. Mark 11, verse 25, Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But Lord, he's hurt me so bad. But Lord, he's called me so many names. But Lord, my people have been treated so bad. Beloved, Jesus said, if you are praying and you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Beloved, I have been betrayed, and some things have happened to me here in Africa by people of a different race and different culture and different ethnic tribe, different language. Some people have done some very despicable things to me, but I have learned to forgive them. I have learned to let go, and I have a choice to make. I can either forgive and let go, or I can be bitter and bring it up every 30 seconds or every 30 minutes or every 30 days and keep that wound festering and keep that wound raw and open. Or I can be healed and forgive and let go of it and let the supernatural grace of God come into my heart and heal those places where I would have a root of bitterness, where I would have a root of unforgiveness that would take root in me. And beloved, that is what we all need to do. We need to forgive and move on. Let's look for something better. Let's speak of something better. Let's speak of the blessings that God has over America. Let's speak of the blessings God has over Kenya, Let's speak of the blessings God has and stop bringing up the past. Yes, we cannot forget the past. We have to learn from the past, but we can't take an eraser on a magic marker board and erase the past and pretend like it didn't happen. We can't burn down every building in America and start all over. We can't put 350 million people on the East Coast and let them dash for land like the Oklahoma land run. It isn't going to happen. We have to start with where we are. We have to start with what we have. Learn to forgive. Learn to move forward and speak blessings. The blessings of God over the land of the United States of America. Speak His plan over America. Speak His plan over the vision for America. And by the way, beloved, none of this is taking me by surprise. It's happening in America today. God gave me visions and dreams about this many years ago. If you've read my book, Prophecies for America, you see the prophetic visions God has given me about martial law, about terrorist activity, about riots and burnings and cities blowing up and all this stuff. So I'm not surprised any of it. I'm disappointed and heartbroken that we still have racism that results in innocent civilians being killed by police. I'm disappointed and heartbroken that people would take their anger to the streets to destroy businesses and to destroy people's dreams that they've spent a lifetime building on, and even the people of their own race and culture in their own villages and in their own communities. They've destroyed people's livelihoods. They've destroyed people's dreams. And I'm very disappointed and heartbroken, just like all of you are. But I have not been taken by surprise by this, because God showed me many years ago this was coming to America. So the Lord says that you have to forgive and you have to let go when you have been hurt and when you have anger toward your brother. Well, Matthew 5, Jesus Christ, the words of Jesus himself. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Beloved, if you're making a contribution to your church, if you're making a contribution to the Red Cross or to some ministry or missionary, and you have aught with your brother, you have something against your brother, or your brother has something against you, go to that person and reconcile your differences with them. Go to them and speak. Look in their eyes and speak your differences. Speak what it is that is bothering you. And beloved, you'll find out that you and your brother have a lot in common, that you and your brother have something to live for, to care about with each other, and that you can learn to love those people that you thought you would not be able to love. You have heard that it was said, this is Jesus Christ speaking again, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Beloved, blessed are the persecuted. Beloved, blessed are the peacemakers. Beloved, blessed are those when people revile you, because you will see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is yours if you are being persecuted. We pray for the Lord to remove racial hatred. We pray for the Lord to remove all of this darkness out of the hearts of men. And beloved, when people truly have the heart of Jesus Christ, when people truly understand the love of Jesus Christ, then you will be able to forgive your enemies. Matthew 18:21. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Peter said, up to seven times. And verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And so Jesus said, there's no restriction. There's no limit on the number of times that you have to forgive. You have to keep forgiving, and you will keep forgiving if you understand the heart of God. Well, beloved, that is what we need to do. We need prayer. We need love, we need forgiveness and repentance, And if any of this speaks to your heart, spend some time in prayer today. Spend some time meditating on God's word today, and God will give you peace. He will give you revelation, and he will give you wisdom and how to proceed in the days ahead. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank each and every one of you for listening and for your prayers and your contributions. I invite you to sit down and write us out a check, support this ministry, that we can continue to do the work in Africa. We're building a beautiful church over here in Makunda, out in Kakamega County in Kenya. And we also have a children's home now with 12 orphan children that we're raising and supporting. And so if you feel like you would like to support us, stay tuned for the contact information at the end of this broadcast. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to have your support. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.